is here with us. Troy, explain what you're doing with Rescuing the Rescuers.
Yes, sir. You know, there's been so many people that have actually responded in such a profound way that now there needs to be a collaborated effort that's very, very strategic. And there are so many people down there, brother, that are working so hard. You know, we have teams down there and they're working and they're coming across terrible things. We have to rescue those rescuers and make sure that they're well supported, that they're fully funded, that they have good places to stay, that they are fed, and that we actually reach the rescuers for Jesus as well. And so we're doing that on a couple of different fronts, and we're doing that with their housing, finding places for them to stay, and then their equipment, just the tractor equipment that is needed, and you know, the chainsaws and all the things, but mostly to make sure that those people are fed and supported so that we are indeed rescuing the rescuers there.
All right, so people can help by donating at TroyBrewer.com. Troy, I'm going to put you on camera here in front of everybody. If I give tonight, will that money go towards what you're talking about?
100%. Be happy to send it. You know, I don't think me and Brian were talking about this already. You know, man, we fear the Lord, and I'm telling you right now, we need to help people down there. And this is the role of the body of Jesus. We shouldn't leave this up to the government. We shouldn't leave this up to the government. We shouldn't expect somebody else to come in and do this. This is the role of the body of Jesus. And I guarantee you, this is going to make a tremendous difference within people's lives.
Well, my friends, making a difference is what we do. Guys, it is the eighth day of the month of July in the year 2025. This is episode number 55. Welcome to The Pulse. I'm back. Yes, I am. And I'm so daggum happy to be here today. And I want to just jump right into this because I got so many things to talk to you about today. We are indeed going to be talking about what's been going on with me the past 6 weeks. We actually rescued an eight-year-old? Yeah, we rescued an eight-year-old little boy today. I've got so many things I got to tell you, including a prophetic word about this event that's going on in Kerrville. But let me first just tell you this. The body of Jesus is responding in an incredible way. This could very well be a catalyst for a tremendous revival here in Texas and all across the United States. The whole world is watching this, and the whole world is looking at Kerrville, Texas, and on the highest peak in Kerrville, Texas, is a 77-foot cross, and it's called the Empty Cross. It was made by a friend of mine by the name of Max Schreiner, and Max built that cross 77 feet high, 7 inches high, and it is called the Empty Cross. What is that about? It's about the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those of us who believe in the resurrection power, guys, we answer this evil with goodness. We answer darkness with light. Yesterday, I had the incredible privilege of being on, I was on a couple of different shows yesterday. On the afternoon, my good friends from Charisma contacted me, and I was with Charisma. And that was a big deal. And we talked about our efforts that was going on down there. Then last night I was on Flashpoint, and Flashpoint had me on, and Brother Gene Bailey, and those are all friends of mine, all these other cats. And you know what? They were like, hey, how can we get behind you? And what are you guys doing? And I told them, and then I'm going to tell you this. So many people jumped in on this at 9 o'clock last night that it literally crashed our site. And like, are you kidding me? Never had anything like that happen before. So what is that? It's the power of partnership. It's the people of Jesus responding, going, you know what? Not on my watch. We're going to do something. And guys, I'm here to tell you what we're doing. And so buckle your seatbelts. Stick with me for the next hour. I don't even think I'm going to go behind the veil today. I think I'm just going to keep this thing up and running so that everybody can watch this, because we have testimonies. And then I got to tell you about the practical application of what the body of Jesus should be doing. And then I'm going to give you a prophetic word concerning this entire event. Now, joining me today to help me tell you how we are being mobilized together in the midst of this incredible tragedy is my good friend, the executive pastor here at Open Door Church, the senior executive pastor, and also too the manager of Redemption Ranch, Pastor Jerry Sellers. Pastor Jerry, what's going on, man?
Living life large, brother. And I want to say, man, it's good to have you home.
Thank you, man. Well, I'm glad to be back. I have missed my bed, I promise you.
I'm sure not here
for very long because we're going on a bunch of kid rescues in Central America this coming weekend. And but I'm glad to be here during this short time. I'm actually going to be at Open Door Church Wednesday night too.
Yes, sir.
I'm preaching on Wednesday night, and I'd be glad to be back behind the Open Door pulpit and I'm bringing a word and tell everybody what God Almighty's been speaking to me about the past 6 weeks. And you, you know, man, because you've already heard it. I got with all the pastors today.
It was phenomenal.
But I'm sorry.
I'm saying, guys, you got to be here tomorrow night. It's a game changer. It really is.
Well, I'm believing God for a tremendous Holy Ghost move of God tomorrow night here at Open Door. So you know that we're activated. You know that whenever this thing happened on July the 4th, which makes this an American word, this is not just about Texas. This is a word for all the United States of America, Ron.
Yes, sir.
And it's a word about our kids being swept away. And I'll give this word here within the next few minutes. I'm at the end of all this, but they can't have our kids.
No.
And we're gonna have to guard our kids. And we think our Christian kids are safe. And we have to guard our kids. And I'll be given that prophetic word. But in the midst of that, you knew that we were going to get activated. You knew that as soon as this went out, because you know the drill. You've been with me in ministry for a long time. What was that like from your perspective, just knowing that we were going to get highly involved?
Getting amped up, getting prepared, getting ready for the phone calls, getting ready to make all the connections. We're such a kingdom ministry. We're connected with so many people. We knew the need was already there. It was just waiting to see which lane we were going to jump into. And most of my day, the 4th, I actually was watching the news just in that area, because that area that it happened, that the event that happened back in 1987, that youth camp that happened down there called Pot of Gold, it happened 1 week. The next week, I was on Pot of Gold because we were going to camp there. So it's very near and dear to my heart, because that's grounds that I've already lived through previous times through another flood. And just knowing the heart of our church and what God has called us, we're activators, we're crisis responders. And I knew it was coming. I knew he was home, and I knew the marching orders were going to be sent out, and I knew the team was going to rally behind it and get the job done.
Well, this has affected us and personally, as it has affected people all over the planet Earth. You know, I mean, it's almost like an October 7th event. It's so horrific. But it's also touched us personally. I mean, there's a family that comes to our church all the time, a family that we love, a family that you and I have spoken to several times, who were swept away.
Yeah.
And the daddy has been found, but the teenage boy and the mama has not yet been found. And these are good people. Good, good, good people. And I mean, this has touched us. I mean, there's a lot of people in our church that are not just devastated because of what we've seen on the media, but actually because of how it's actually touched us.
Yes, sir.
And so we have to respond, and we have to respond in a way that looks like Jesus. And I'm about to tell you how we're doing that. So also joining me to help me tell this story today of what we're doing and how we're doing it is Pastor Chris Lee, and he's the director of the Open Door Food Bank. Pastor Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm well. I'm glad to be here for sure. Honored to be here for sure.
Well, it's an honor to have you too, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, right on, man. Okay, so boys, let's do this thing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so everybody's looking to me yesterday and say, okay, how do you want to respond? You know, what do you want us to do? And I'm like, you know what I want to do? I know that because we've been a part of so many disasters, I know that if we show up there with just a big truck of food, we show up there, it, you know, what's real is there's already a lot of that there.
Correct.
And so, like, how do we make a tremendous difference? And I already know the answer to that. It's we rescue the rescuers.
Right, yes, sir.
And that's something that we do. That's why we're so successful in rescuing kids all over the world. Not because we're the best guys in the world at rescuing kids. We're the best guys I've ever seen at rescuing the rescuers that rescue the kids.
Correct.
And we take care of them and support them. And that needs to happen right now. There is the first responder care that needs to take place down there is a tremendous call. And so what we've decided to do is to find the people that are actually doing the stuff, the professionals that are actually doing the stuff.
Yes.
And that is one of the ways that we're doing this. And then we are actually supporting them with their equipment, with loving them, with their food, with their lodging, all of that kind of stuff, and to make sure that that happens.
Right.
So you're fixing to go down there yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going down Thursday morning, probably about 5 o'clock in the morning, and going down to Luckenbach, Texas. You know, you always say that the kingdom of God is relational before it's functional.
Yes, sir.
And this connection was relational. And so calling her yesterday and hearing all of the things that the media is really not even pushing out, mm-hmm. all these smaller towns that are not being looked at, RV parks that haven't even been touched yet.
Yep.
And so bringing food down for them, bringing food down to go, just snacks going down for the first responders. But I said, look, I mean, we don't want to just come down there and bring food. Like, what else do you want us to do? And she said, clean up, bring chainsaws. And so, you know, 93 chainsaws with gloves and gas and food just coming down there Thursday morning.
So we're going to do that this week. And in the midst of that, I know that you're taking some additional people with you.
Absolutely.
And some people to just clean up. And again, everybody's attention is on Kerrville, and it should be. I have no problem with that. I mean, what's happened there is incredible. But the surrounding towns, and as he said, there's even RV parks that hasn't been reported that those people have been swept away, and nobody has found them because they're in so much debris.
Right.
I saw a picture today where this guy is standing out, and I think that we actually have a picture of this. This guy is standing to get an idea of what the debris looks like. That's what we're talking about. Now, that is unimaginable. Okay. Right. Well, there's bodies in there, and it's going to take a while to get to these people. And so these guys had to be supported, and it is a big task. And so we're taking a big team of guys down there to specific locations to go after this. But on top of that, Pastor Jerry, something amazing happened today, and we have an opportunity to actually buy 93 chainsaws.
Chainsaws, yes, sir.
And let me say, we got hooked up with John Deere.
Yes, sir.
So John
United Ag.
So United Ag United Ag, which has a whole bunch of John Deere stores, one here in Johnson County. And we got hooked up with these guys, and they're like, hey, we want to partner with you. And they are giving us this unbelievable deal. So the bottom line is we can get 100 chainsaws, the big can of gas that goes with it, and 100 pairs of gloves.
Yes, sir.
For your pins on top of that.
$430.
For $430 a piece.
Yes.
And we are prepared right now to drop $43,000 and just go down there and give away these chainsaws. Yeah. We're prepared to do that. No strings attached, because I know that that's what you guys would want us to do. I'm not going to ask for them back. We're going to give these because this is going to take a lot of work, and they're going to go through a lot of chainsaws. This actually represents all the chainsaws in North Texas, as far as John Deere is concerned. And so here's what I'm asking you guys. You guys want to help us? You want to help us? I encourage you guys to give $430, buy a brand spanking new chainsaw, the can of gas, a big can of gas that actually goes with it. It's mixed fuel. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, a brand new pair of gloves. And let's do this thing. Let's get this thing done today.
Let's be there for our guys that are rescuing. Let's rescue them. It's what we do.
Yep.
All across the board in every ministry, from the ranch all the way overseas, we support the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Yep.
And how devastating could it be, a rescuer trying to find somebody and the equipment constantly breaks down, don't have no gas, they can't move maneuver through all that stuff because their gloves wore out. We're going to be there back to back to back and walking with them hand and foot, equipping them to do what they've been there to do.
One of the things I can see, Pastor Chris, that we're going to have to do in the very near future is take a whole truckload of those canisters of gas down there. Because and just go down the line of the guys out there working and say, what's your fuel situation like?
Right.
Yeah. And here you go, and tell them, hey man, we're supporting you, buddy. We love you, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's our number. Call us when you need this, when you need that, when you need this, when you need that, you know, here you go. Again, this devastation, and like when you see a house going down the river like that, it's likely that there's people inside that house.
Correct.
Because you can't jump out into the river. And then those people are inside those houses, and it hits something, and it collapses into a billion pieces while the people are inside. And so now that water has subsided, now there is all of this mess. Another thing, too, that we're doing is we're partnering with Jenny Cudd. She's a J6er. She's a good friend of ours. Mm-hmm. She's been on our show here. She has housing for people, and she's got, like, this really cool little ranch, like a bed and breakfast place. Mm-hmm. And we're also finding those people as well and then saying, hey, we want to help you. We want to help you with food. We want to help you with finances. We want to help you take care of these services that you're offering for free so that it doesn't tank you. See, this is what the body of Jesus is supposed to do.
Yes, exactly right.
We're just hands supposed and to be feet. Hands and feet, man.
Yeah. That's right. You look at the state of Texas. It hit right in the heart of Texas.
Sure did.
And, I mean, it hit every Texan's heart. And I think, you know, the outpouring that we've already seen into Kerrville is unimaginable. It's amazing. And so I think that's the body of Christ. We are equipped. We are ready to go at a moment's notice, whether it's the food bank or just all the people that come to Open Door and everybody that's on the pulse. I mean, come on. Thank you so much for what you're doing already. This has made a huge impact. And And I think if you look at true discipleship, it's not a one-off. This is a multi-pronged approach that's going to last for months.
I got a phone call this morning from a family asking me, could we help with the funeral cost?
Wow.
And so I'm telling them, yeah, of course we can.
Wow.
Of course we can. And so we, you know, we got to actually experience the Flashpoint Army last night. And what's real is we have an ODX Army.
Yes, sir.
We have an ODX Army from people all over the planet Earth. Right. And I want to just say this, guys. Give, if you can't give $430 and buy the whole package, if you can't do that, just give whatever you can. Call the number today, or you can write in. You can actually write in. If you're a snail mail person, here's our address. Let me put it up here for you. Mail to Troy Brewer Ministries, P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, and it's 76097. That's a brand new zip code to me, so I have to actually see it to be able to do that. So, yeah, anyway, guys, give, and let's do this, and let's be the hands and feet of King Jesus. So, man, I want us to spend a minute before I continue on this, because I got to give a prophetic word.
Yes.
And then I got a bunch of news to announce and a bunch of things to tell everybody. But I want to pray, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to pray. And I'm going to pray for a minute, and then let's just go around the table. And I want to ask everybody, all my friends all over the planet, hey, man, you guys pray with us wherever you're at, right there where you're at, man, pray with us. And yeah, here we go. Father God, sir, I know, God, that you are here in the midst of this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God, you raise up a standard.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, sir, that the flood of heaven is greater than the flood of hell. I thank you, Lord Jesus, sir. Father God, sir, I pray, God, that today that our friends would be found.
Yes.
And that this horrible nightmare would end for the family and friends of our friends. And I pray, God, that they would be found today. I also pray, Lord God, sir, and I lift up all the people that are waiting and hoping and expecting, and they're looking. And God, they need answers and they need help. And I pray, Father God, sir, that you would hear their prayers. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give us a grace to respond, a God-given ability to respond. Father, I want to pray in the name of Jesus for all the rescuers.
Yes.
For the people, God, that have found bodies. For the people, God, who have seen terrible things with children. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, that what would mark their souls during this time would be a great move of God and not the trauma of that terrible thing, God, that they've seen and that they have experienced. For the people, Lord God, sir, who lived through this, for the 888 people who were rescued.
Yes.
And I pray, God, that they would have no survivor's guilt. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, that they would be happy that they're alive. I pray, God, that you would help them as they are mourning the deaths of their friends. And I pray, Lord God, sir, that there would be a move of God. Let this be the beginning of a great revival, not just in Texas, but as this thing happened on July the 4th, I pray, God, that this would spread throughout the entire nation, this revival, this activation of the body of Christ. I declare, God, that your kingdom has come. And Father God, sir, we declare, God, that your kingdom is coming.
Yeah,
God, the kingdom is coming. God, your will is being done in the name of King Jesus. And Father God, sir, I pray and I lift up every single partner, every single giver, every single person, God, who doesn't just have a heart broken over this, but God, they actually respond. I pray, Father God, sir, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bless us as givers and bless us, Lord God, sir, that we can continually give. And Lord God Almighty, I love you. I love you, sir, and I praise you, Lord God. Pastor Jerry.
Father God, we thank you today that in this horrific event,
Jesus,
you were still on your throne, and that it didn't take you by surprise. And we know your heart,
Jesus.
Lord, and we praise you for it. And Lord, I speak right now that you would send forth a prophetic utterance over that region, and all of a sudden, rescuers will say, you know, I need to go this way. And that way actually rescues and recovers someone, God. I pray for that.
Yes.
I also pray for the whole revelation of redeeming your timeline, Lord. I pray you'd go back to the moment, those that were swept away and their last moments. God, you reveal yourself to them as their life came to a closure, Lord. And I pray you'd do that. God, we pray also for all the loved ones that are anticipating the phone call.
Yes.
We pray for grace, mercy.
Yes.
We also pray for all those that lost everything.
Yes.
Those that were rescued but lost everything. God, I pray that you would financially move in their lives some unexpected places and help them through this process.
Yes, Lord.
And God, God through most of it all. May it be about your kingdom being established greater than it ever has before, that many people come to saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and actually all of us that are affected from a far-off distance, Lord, that would bring us into 100% relevance of what you're doing in this time. God, would you awaken your sleeping church right now, Lord?
Yes.
And may we get activated to what you've called us to do. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for all those right now that are sowing seeds in this good ground.
Yes.
God, may it produce a 30, 60, and 100-fold return on the gift that they're sowing right now. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name.
That's Chris. Father, wow.
Come
on. This hits your heart.
Mm.
Come on.
It's your heart. Kids that have been missing. You said that you came to seek and save those which were lost.
Mm.
Lord, bless your family. Bless your people. Lord, I pray for peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Peace where there has been anxiety. Peace where there's been depression and panic attacks. Even family members that have laid their head on their pillow at night and cried themselves to sleep. I call peace and shalom, joy where there's been sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is their strength. For the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despising its shame. Joy has teeth to it.
Mm.
Joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings, but joy is eternal. Mm. Joy is a fruit of your spirit. And that's an anchor. And for righteousness, righting those things that were wrong. Lord, Jesus. This thing is wrong. This thing is wrong. And only you know how to make it right. We know what we did. We know what we need to do to help those that are hurting. But Lord, there's something bigger and greater that you're going to write that the things that have been hurt in people's hearts over this, even those first responders, Lord, whether you give them spiritual amnesia where they can, yes, they recognize, they see the dead body, but it does not affect them in their soul.
Come on. Come on.
Lord Jesus, I thank you that you care deeply about those search and rescuers, the ones that are recovering those bodies. Lord, you care deeply about them. Bless them. Bless their homes. Lord, this word inundate. Inundate them, saturate their hearts with your goodness. Lord, ground has been already saturated by water. But Lord, you're coming with a saturation of your Holy Spirit that they have never felt before. Lord, we love you. I count it an honor to call you my Lord and Savior. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Way to go. Pastor Jerry, Pastor Chris. I know that it's a really big week for you boys, and I know that we got a lot of work to do this week, and I'm grateful that you guys are on our team, and it is a great honor to get to do ministry and get to do life with you guys.
Same here, sir.
Yes, and amen.
Friends, we've been praying, and I've been telling you about our rescue efforts ourselves and how we are rescuing the rescuers, and I would encourage you to pray for us as we go forward to do so much ministry with so many people. And also, too, as we take on hell with the water pistol, one chainsaw at a time. And if you want to help us with one of those chainsaws, for $430 through a special thing that we've got going with John Deere, we can get not only the chainsaw, which is a steel, okay? That's a high, I mean, it's as good as it gets. And those are kind of, we know something about chainsaws. We have a bunch of chainsaws. And we can get a brand spanking new, are they 16-inch chainsaws?
16, 18, and 20-inch.
Oh, excellent. Come on. You have all three, 16, 18, and 20-inch chainsaws, a brand new pair of leather gloves, and a big container of mixed fuel for that. And we are going to go down there and give those things away and help people. And And then that's going to open up a bunch of doors for us to see us get to heal a bunch of rescuers as well. And we're working with so many people, and there's churches all over the place. Brian Gibson hollered at me, "Hey, man, I want to partner with y'all." Today I talked with Pastor Sewell, and his church is in Detroit. He is that amazing man of God that was actually at the inauguration of Trump that prayed in the storm. Do you guys remember him?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I talked with him today. He called me all the way from Detroit and said, "Hey, I want to partner with you guys." I'm like, "Okay, awesome." And so, I wouldn't just say, "Guys, jump in on this and let's bring the goodness of God into this big mess." So just go to troybrewer.com or you can call us at 877-413-0888. And by the way, 888 is the number of people pulled from the river. 888, and that's also the numerical value of the name Jesus. What's our hope for rescue? 888, Jesus. Yes. Guys, whenever I come back to you right after this next break, I'm going to have some additional friends in here, and then I'm going to give a word concerning this whole event. Watch this. This is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and I'm so excited about it. So, friends, be looking for Joseph Z. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus.
That's right.
Darren Stott.
This can be redeemed. Your marriage can be restored.
Alan DeDia.
God speaks through authority. He always has, and he always will.
Tony Markle.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household to be strong in their position and don't abandon the post.
Brian Schwartz.
That means we have his memory. We have his insight. We have his perspective.
And yours truly for a brand new show that's called The Counter. You'll be able to find it exclusively at stage 2 and stage 3 of ODX.TV. Coming this fall to our YouTube channel and to ODX.TV is a brand new show that's called The Counter. And the very first one is actually on portals. Oh my gosh. Now, we filmed this a couple of months ago, and we're working on the editing all summer long. And if you want to see all of it in its entirety, the whole 1 hour version of that, you have to be a member of ODX.TV. And then, man, you got to get in a fight to help me rescue boys and girls out of sexual slavery, including the little boy that we rescued today. We rescued an eight-year-old little boy on the Tex-Mex border today. And an 8-year-old little boy who has been a slave, and we have him. We have him. Also, I've seen his picture today. We rescued a girl here just a couple of days ago. I haven't given you any of those pictures yet because our whole attention has been towards this. But don't think that we're still not out there rescuing kids, because we are. And the reason why we're able to do that is because people like you partner with us. And, you know, this is our calling. This is what we do. Friends, I want to remind you guys to type in, let me know where it is that you're watching from. Be sure to smash the buttons. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the little hearts and the likes and just start gang, 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 just start doing that. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure and follow us and do the stuff, you know, all the stuff. If you're watching on Instagram, if you're watching in some kind of crystal ball, quit that. That's the devil. And encourage you to repent in the name of Jesus. I've been having a bunch of run-in with witches here lately, and I just want to just tell you, man, my prophetic word that God Almighty has given me, it doesn't sound very profound, but I learned it in the first grade. It is this: I'm rubber, you're glue. What you curse on me bounces off of me and sticks on you. I don't have to be any more profound than that. I have the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, yeah, so guys, we actually are rescuing people. And I'm so excited about this partnership that we have with John Deere. And they're like literally partnering with us for us to get, we're literally buying every chainsaw that John Deere has in the state of Texas. And so it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So if you want to get in on that, guys, $430 buys the whole kit and caboodle. That is the chainsaw, and that is a pair of gloves, and it is also a big can, the biggest can of mixed fuel that they have. And or if you want to give more than that, then help us with that. So today, just for us to get 100 of these is, you know, $43,000. So if you can help in a really big way, that's amazing. And if you can't help in a really big way, if you can help in any way, you know what? It's big to King Jesus. I promise you it is. It's big to King Jesus. He sees it. He does. And it'll make a tremendous difference. Right on. So I'm going to jump right off into this prophetic word, and then I'll go to my friends as soon as I get done with this. But I got to talk to you about this whole thing about this new Texas flood. And whenever you look at something prophetically, whenever you do that, you are looking at the dates, you're looking at the numbers, you're looking at the type and the shadow, and then you compare it to scriptures. What does that type and shadow represent in the Word of God? And if that was a dream, what would it mean? And I can tell you that what has predated this is actually the October 14, 2023 eclipse that came across the southern part of the United States, and then it exited right there at Corpus Christi, Texas. And then the April 8th total solar eclipse that came across Texas, and it came across Nineveh, Texas, went over seven different cities called Nineveh. That was on April the 8th. And do you guys see where it crosses? Right there where it crosses? That, my friends, is exactly where this flood just happened at. This thing was literally, it's like a precise prediction of where these things cross. And do you know what is in Kerrville, Texas? A giant cross. So there is a prayer garden that is called the Coming King Sculpture Garden. And you guys need to look it up, the Coming King Sculpture Garden. Leanna and I go there often. Anytime I'm in South Texas or Central Texas, I go there, and I will spend the day in prayer there. It's a prophetic prayer garden that was made by a guy by the name of Max Schreiner. And I'm on his prayer board, and I've taken teams of people down there. And there is that giant cross right there, and it is 77 feet and 7 inches tall. 77 feet and 7 inches tall. And the reason why you can see all the way through it is because it's a sculpture that is called the empty cross, meaning Jesus is no longer on it. And you can literally walk this path through this garden, and there's all these scriptures on the ground. And I believe that there's 77 of those scriptures on the ground. And then you go through this path. It takes you by one sculpture to another, and those are prophetic prayer stations. And then it ends at the cross, and you walk through it. And there are all these testimonies of people from all over the world that have gone through that. And because of the prayers of the saints, they have been healed. They've been set free. There's been so many baptisms. There's been so many salvations. You know, I want to go back to that original picture that we just showed. Do you know what this, that amazing, incredible picture of Jesus coming back on a cloud, that place, the bottom of that, that's where you baptize people. And I've baptized hundreds of people there. And that's a huge baptismal, which is awesome. It is awesome. Okay, that is the center of Kerrville, Texas. And today, the eyes of the world are on Kerrville. And like, what should we look at? The place where the heavens cross, okay? This is the place where the heavens cross. Let me go back and let me show you again this this picture. This is October the 14th solar eclipse, and then also to the April the 8th solar eclipse. The place where the heavens cross is Kerrville, Texas. And in Kerrville, Texas is this giant cross that has the prophetic number 777 intentionally stamped upon it. And what does that mean? It means this: our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in FEMA. It's not even, you know, as much as I love President Trump, I love him. I'm so glad that he is our leader. Praise God, Kamala is not the president of the United States. What a horror fest that would be right now. And, but with that said, he's not the answer. He's not. He's a leader, but he's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And the fact of the matter is, he's no longer on that cross. The cross is now empty, and he is resurrected from the dead. Do you know that there are 888 people rescued out of that river? So all the different groups together that have rescued, the number, the total number of people that they pulled from the water is this number right here, 888. And so, guys, I can just tell you that this devastation of what this is going to take a long, long, long time to clean up. And there is, sadly, I think, a lot more people that have been swept away that nobody realizes yet, because, you know, you don't sign up anywhere, dadgummit, those little girls. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. My heart breaks when I see that picture. Like, oh, that makes me so sad. I'm so sorry for these little girls who were in a time of consecration They were in a separate place of consecration, and were seeking the Lord, and were there to have an encounter with Jesus. And this devil showed up, a wolf. See, that river is called Guadalupe, and Guadalupe is the wolf river. It's the river of the wolf. A wolf rose up and swept our children away. Now, if that was a dream, what would that mean? And you're like, man, so like what? Yeah, in Kerrville, also in Kerr County, and on July the 4th. What does that mean? That means that this is a word for the United States of America. This is a prophetic word for the United States of America. If you look up 7-4 scriptures, if you look them up, so many out of the 66 books actually begin with, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. You know, whenever I look at, you know, the birth of our nation, which is what we're looking to on this day, we're looking at the birth of our nation, July the 4th, 1776. Do you know what 1776 divided by 2 is? It's 888. What does that mean? It means this. 2 means a faithful witness. We were born, this nation was birthed 249 years ago to be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. 888 is the number that represents Jesus Christ. Everybody's scared of 666. So you don't got to be scared of 666. You just need to know 888. It also wouldn't hurt to know 555, which is a numerical value for the name Christ. And if you look that up, if you guys go to BibleGateway.com and you just put it on King James, look at how many times the word Christ is in the Bible. 555 times. So not only does it have the numerical value of 555, but it also is in the Bible. The word is in the Bible 555 times. Absolute craziness. Here's what I want to tell you this. The wolf is after our children. The wolf is after our little girls. You know it, and I know it. And it's happening in the United States of America. This tragedy that you've seen unfold with these innocent, incredibly innocent children, these beautiful little girls. The woke demonic agenda to sexualize our children and to sweep them away is something that we see happening on a daily basis. Trafficking, the horrors that happen through trafficking. Again, guys, we rescued a 9-year-old little boy today, not even 100 miles away from where that event takes place. Actually, on the Texas border, we rescued a 9-year-old little boy today who had been swept away by something horrible, and today we were able to rescue him. I see the word of God in this. And I see how significant it is. And here's what I'm just saying. The body of Jesus is responding to this. And I'm believing now the body of Jesus is going to respond to anything, any wolf that wants to sweep our little girls away. Joining me today is my good friend, Miss Rebecca.
Hey, Pastor.
Hello, Ladybug.
So happy you're back.
Have you missed me?
We did. Yeah. It's just, we've been holding down the fort with Shay, and it's been amazing, but for sure.
No, you guys done a good job.
We do miss you, and it's not the same without you. So,
thank you.
So glad you're back.
Thank you, man.
We're very happy.
Pastor Chris, it's good to have you here today.
Yeah, welcome back, boss.
Mm-hmm. So, man, you've been with me, man, the past 38 minutes, and you've been seeing all the comments of people all over the world. What are people saying out there?
A lot of people, like, just amening your word, 200%, Nikki, is what Nikki wrote. The devil is a liar from somebody named Forgotten Country. It's a good word. I got to tell you, when I saw that picture of that little boy this morning, it got me. Mm-hmm. I know we were all celebrating that he's rescued, but I saw the story behind it, and it hit different for sure. And yeah, here we are working on flooding and chainsaws and trying to get relief down there. And like, the work never stops here. Like, we might stop and pause and, hey, we need to let folks know, hey, we're going over here. We're taking care of this. Yep. But there's other work that's happening behind the scene. There's stories, like, we had a whole other show that we were going to, and different talks that we had scheduled to go through. Mm-hmm. But here we are, we're responding.
Amen. Yeah, we have people in our ODX family saying, we were born, the nation along with Israel, born to be a faithful witness. We have Georgette. Thank you, Pastor Troy. What a word. Thank you for all the rescues. We got Priscilla Prado. We will take a stand. They will not take our children and sweep them away, not on our watch, in Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you for everybody that is tuning in. Thank you, guys. We cannot do this without you. It's amazing what God is doing.
Well, guys, these are perilous times. And I mean, whenever we see, you know, these are perilous times. You know, whenever one of the things I want to, and I gotta tell you this because people ask me all the time. Okay, Troy, you guys have been rescuing kids for 30 years, and I want to tell you, we do know some bad stories. Mm-hmm. And there are some stories that just in my covenant with God, I will never tell because I don't want anybody to be impressed with evil. Yeah, amen. I hate people being impressed with evil, and we have a tendency to want to be impressed with evil. Mm-mm. And if we're not impressed with how scary something is, we will actually romanticize it. We'll fall in love with a vampire. You know, we'll make them sexy somehow. Mm-mm. And oh my gosh, people need Jesus.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, it's part of just how messed up human beings are. Sorry, I'm getting choked up.
No, you're fine.
But I do know a lot of bad things. However, I know the power of God in the midst of all those bad things.
Amen.
And I got to be able to focus on that. And if I don't steward that, that's on me. Mm. And so it's like, what do you look at? So whatever, you become what you behold. Mm. And that's the way that God Almighty has designed things. If you look at something and look at something and look at something, you become that. Mm. You actually become that. And that's why we are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right on? Amen. So if I look at Jesus and if I'm constantly looking at him, I'll become more Christ-like. If in the midst of the rescues that we do and all the things that we're a part of, and I mean, you know, dadgummit, I mean, like, you know some of the story about the 9-year-old little boy today.
Yeah.
Okay, this little boy, if you saw his picture, you would just go, golly, because he's beautiful.
Cute as a button.
I mean, don't you just want to just pick him up, just take him home, just be his dad?
Yeah.
I do too. And I've seen that, you know, over 11,000 times of kids that we've rescued and have had kids chase me down the road and begging me to take him home. And I'd be like in Uganda. I mean, one particular little boy that I really loved that told me all week, hey, look, if you take me home, I'll be a good son. And by the end of the week, he was like, well, I can mow. He just wanted to be a servant after a while. Aww. Just take me home and just let me be a servant. I'm like, bro, listen to me. You come go with me, your name is changing to Brewer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'll be your dad, but I can't. Your nation will not allow me to do this. And like, I'm sorry. And I remember us driving down the road and I turn around and look and that little boy was running behind a car crying. And it devastated me. I was like 20 years ago and I'm still heartbroken over it. Like, oh my God. I was like, stop the car. Just stop the car. And I got out and hugged him and it actually made it worse, you know?
Yeah.
Because then he jumped on me like a spider monkey and he wasn't going to get off and I couldn't peel him off.
Wow.
And so it was a big mess. Okay. Well, you amplify that by 10 million. I know some bad things, but here's what I know. I know that little boy is grown up today and he is well taken care of. And I know, like in the midst of these floods, in the midst of the little boy that we rescued today, I know what the resurrection power of Jesus looks like in a little boy's life because I've seen it over and over again. While he may remember this in the future, it won't be his defining thing about his life.
Won't be his story.
Nope.
Yeah.
Amen.
His story will be that he was rescued. His story will be that people loved him enough that they came and they got him. And that he will equate to Jesus loved me enough that he saw me and he came and got me. And so if we're gonna tell the right story and if we want the right outcome to happen, we have to look at the right thing. And so I'm not ignoring the fact, and again, I know a family who has been killed by this. I personally know a family and my heart is broken. And I know the family that travels with them and I know how much they love them and I cannot imagine how broken that their hearts are. And I'm a pastor and I love people, so that's a hard thing, you know, for any of us. I'm not ignoring that. I'm not acting like that's no big deal because it's a big deal. I promise you, it is a big deal. But here's what I can tell you: the past 4 years, particularly beginning at around 2020, the body of Jesus was paralyzed because the government said you need to shelter in place. I don't want to see your mouth in the decade of the pay. As soon as it became the decade of the mouth, so, you know, the decade of the pay. So that's the decade of the mouth. For the first time in human history, the entire world said, we don't want to see your mouth. And you know what? The church complied.
Yep.
The body of Jesus through through limp-wristed leadership, complied and said, well, okay, well, we're going to have church as long as it doesn't offend the people who hate God. And we don't want to offend the people who hate God. So here's the deal. We will have everybody sit 25 chairs apart and you got to wear 2 masks and then we'll have a church service and we'll talk about how powerful God is. What?
Mm-mm.
I'm still mad over that. Yeah. I'll be mad. Listen, and I want to be mad for the rest of my life. I want to be mad over that. I don't ever want to not
mad
be mad
for the right reasons.
No, it's not a sin to be mad.
100%.
It's good to be mad. I am insulted. I am insulted by the leadership that went along with that for years. And you know what happened? 1/3 of all the churches that closed down never reopened in the United States. Do you know that? It's not never on the news. Nobody ever makes any big deal out of it. 33% of all churches in the United States closed their doors forever. We lost 30% of churches in the United States. You know, everybody's losing their mind over a couple of hundred abortion clinics. Mm-hmm. No, you can't close our abortion clinics too. And we had tens of thousands, more than 100,000 churches, 120 something thousand churches. Once the government told them to close their door, 120,000, they never reopened. They went out of business. They couldn't handle it anymore.
And that's groups, that's people that need help, that need love, that are studying, communities that could be changed, that are no longer being affected.
They're gone.
Yeah.
I want to just, I like to put it this way. 1/3 of the stars fell.
That's good.
Sorry. That's good. That's the truth. All right. Now, look, I didn't handle everything right during COVID, but I've never regretted one time not closing down. Mm-hmm.
We still had church.
Listen, man. We had church and we reached tens of thousands of people. We fed tens of thousands of people. We saw signs, miracles, and wonders. We opened up the front door of the church and we built a healing tent inside the sanctuary and said, if you have COVID, we don't want you to stay home. We want you to come here. Because the Bible says, let the elders, if anybody is sick among them, let the elders anoint them with oil and they shall be healed. Okay, do we believe that?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't remember Jesus being scared of leprosy.
Correct.
I don't remember him thinking, oh, I can't touch that person. I can't breathe their air. No, he spoke against it.
Now that I've said all that, let me also say this as well. I got a lot of opposition, a lot, and it didn't come from atheists. It came from pansy Christians, is where it came from. Pastor Troy, we thought you were a man of God, and you don't care about our safety. You don't care about your church's safety. I wasn't called into ministry for everybody's safety.
Right.
I was called into ministry for everybody's salvation.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's good. Sir.
When did safety become our highest concern? You know what the Word of God says? Jesus says, I send you out as lambs among wolves. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is not concerned for your safety. He's concerned for your well-being.
Amen.
But that's the whole thing. You know, and people don't believe that. People are like, the most important thing is that I feel comfortable and secure. Mm-hmm. Oh, King Jesus. Oh, my God. I just want to throw up. Honestly. Especially whenever a man acts like that. Like, okay, you got your support armadillo that you walk around for your emotional support. That's what I would have. If I had my own support animal, it would be an armadillo.
Goodness.
Okay, so now that I've said all that, do you know what I see now? I see something completely different. I see the body of Jesus being unified, and they do not care what denomination they're helping. Mm-hmm. They do not care if they know these people or if they don't know the people. This is what we've been praying for. This is a great move of God.
Yeah. I mean, those churches in Texas that are responding to the flood that we're partnering with, we don't care. We don't care if they're Pentecostal or Baptist.
Why would we care?
Or they go to church on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, no, we're there to help. Here's a chainsaw. Here is gas. Here's gloves. Let's go rescue. Go find these people.
We have somebody that says, you either know that there is power in the name of Jesus or you don't. Wow.
Well, I know that there is.
Amen.
Yeah. And I also know this too. If I'm a part of something, I mean, and if everything doesn't work out, okay, if everything doesn't work out, that doesn't mean that God has failed.
Correct.
It means I live in a dangerous place where anything can happen, and I'm going after the gold for King Jesus.
Amen.
And if I fail in that, it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. The fact that I was in the game and that I was loyal to Jesus is what makes it successful.
Correct.
Yeah. And so, man. So, guys, I want to just tell you, we're going after this, and we are rescuing the rescuers there. And I am excited about, it's just like, okay, yesterday I was talking about these other pastors. This guy's name is Gene Bailey. And I know Gene Bailey. I don't know him, like, I'm around him all the time, but I've had dinner with him a couple mm-hmm. of times. He is a good, good man. And recently had dinner with him, and he and I and Joseph Z and Alan DeDio and all of our brides, we were all together and we had dinner together. And he gets on his television show yesterday, and he doesn't mind showing all of his supporters mm-hmm. my website.
That was so
yeah.
cool. And then show people how to give not on his website,
nope. right?
It was
but on my mm-hmm. website.
Yes, sir.
And these other pastors are telling their congregations, hey, don't give that to our church because we're not down there. Troy is down there and Troy's doing, and I'm like, okay, I've always prayed for that because I've done that. Mm. I do that. You guys know I do that. And it typically has not been reciprocal at all. And as a matter of fact, we used to, at Open Door, when our church was still small, there was a church, we did this twice, where there was a church that was going through something. One time, this church was going through all kinds of hell because they had had a family that died in their church, and they were a very small church. The church wanted to help them with the funeral, and they couldn't and whatnot. So everybody that showed up for Open Door that Sunday, mm-hmm. I said, let's close this down, and let's all go to church over there, and let's all give over there.
Wow.
And so the church could only hold like 100 people, and we took like 150 people into that church. And they were like, what the heck is this? And we're like, we're just here to support you.
That's like, so
did,
cool.
Did we miss the offering? Did we miss the offering? And they're like, well, yeah, we've already, I'm like, can we do the offering again? And they're like, okay. Wow. And I'm like, guys, we came here to give. We came here to tell you that y'all are not alone. Another time we did, and I used to call those church invasions. We did another church invasion where we took everybody at Open Door Church. We went to this church because there had been a big mess that happened there. They'd had a big church split. And I mean, I didn't know these people. I didn't know them. I just knew what a powerful outreach that this church had. I didn't even know the circumstances of what the big church split was. Mm-hmm. And I did kind of, but I mean, I didn't know the nuts and bolts of it. And I just said, let's all go over there and let's all give and let's make sure that church doesn't fall apart.
Mm. Wow.
And so I say that to say this. I saw that last night with Gene Bailey. I saw that yesterday with Charisma.
Amen. Yeah.
And guys, this is a move of God that we're looking for.
Yep.
There are boots in the ground of tens of thousands of Christians that have gone to Kerrville, Texas, and they're out there with chainsaws working the land right now, trying to recover people that are in the midst of that mess. I want to show you guys this picture one more time. Mm. When I say a mess, when I say that they're having to cut through things, guys, look at that debris field.
Wow.
It really puts it in perspective. Okay, there's over 26 miles, river miles, that looks like that. And those people need help. And so we're going to help them. Yeah. So guys, if you guys want to help us help them, jump in, Open Door Tribe, jump in, man, and encourage you guys to do that. Call the number or just go to troybrewer.com. Right on, go to troybrewer.com. If you can give $430, that will actually buy a brand new chainsaw, a good one. And you know, we're particular about chainsaws because we do a lot of work out at the ranch with chainsaws. The brand is called Steel. And if you don't know anything about chainsaws, that's okay. But you would know that is a good chainsaw. And so we have 16-inch, 18-inch, and 20-inches that were three different kinds that we're buying. It also buys the biggest can of mixed fuel, and also it has a pair of gloves. I mean, we're talking about, we will literally show up, and when we see somebody that's going to be moving around stuff or whatever, we'll show up and say, try this. And they're like, hey, that's yours. Yes, sir.
I also want to mention, if you guys went to the website last night, for some reason it wasn't working, it is back up. We just hired a bunch of just, I don't know, Santa's elves to get it working, magical creatures that are making the website faster. So if you did happen to go to Troy Brewer last night during Flashpoint or Charisma interview and the website didn't work, Santa and his magical elves, sorry, I shouldn't say magic word church, there, the website is working wonderfully and beautifully right now. Thank you for everyone that's partnering with us, helping us make a difference in the lives of those affected and rescue the rescuers down there in Central Texas.
And what you just said, those had partners. We do have some new Pulse shout outs. Can we do that, Pastor Troy?
Yeah.
We got new lifetime partners. We have two, Paulette, and we have Jenkins from California. Is NE, is that new? What does that stand for? What state is that?
Nebraska.
Nebraska. We got two new stage partners. We got Miranda from Oregon, Alexander from California, Terry from Oklahoma.
Come on.
We have stage new stage. Three. Yeah, that's new awesome. Stage three partners. We have two. Duran from Tennessee and Terry from Florida. Thank you so much for partnering with us. What you're doing is we are making a difference. I love the pastor. So you have just joined the family. You've always been family, but we are just so thankful. And we just wanted to give those shout outs. Isn't that amazing?
No, that's outstanding. So way to go, Miranda and Alexander and Terry in Oklahoma mm-hmm. and Duran in Tennessee. That's a cool name, Duran.
Duran, that's different. Cool.
Like Durant, Durant.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing. It's not Duran. It's Durand.
Durant, okay.
I've never heard that name before. Okay. Hey, Durand, you're the first Durand I've ever met, man. Way to go. Big time Tennessee. And Terry in Florida. Hey, thank you so much. These are brand new Stage 3 partners. And, of course, whenever you partner with us at Stage 3, not only do you have access to the entire site, like you do at Stage 2, you have access to the entire site, but also you also get to see every conference I do for the rest of my life for free. Mm-hmm. So yeah. if it's on camera, we put that out on Stage 3, and that's how that works. And it just makes a tremendous difference. So thank you so much. All right. So I've been gone for the past six mm-hmm. weeks, like 5 weeks.
It's been real boring. I tell you what, we've just been bored without you.
Well, I'm back.
Like, we need something entertaining.
All the comments, if I could share later on, we will share them, but we have missed you, and it makes a difference that you.
I got a lot of hate mail too while I was gone. That's been fun. Yeah. And I got a lot of love mail too.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of
people loved you, man. They really did. People kept asking, like, can we get rid of Chris and off the Pulse with EC Troy?
I'm
sure you did.
Get that guy out of there. No, man, you guys did a great job. Yeah. I did an awesome job. I promise you did.
Well, you trained us, so we learned from
you. Thank you for being teachable.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We learned from the best, so
this is
the harvest that you...
We've had a lot of questions about Bigfoot and...
Oh, yeah, we've kept all those...
Portals and
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people...
We had Tony Merkel.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I saw that one. I was in Canada on the day that you guys had...
It was so good.
Tony Merkel. In his stud, I love him. He's got his act together.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's a squatch hunter. Now, I make fun of squatch hunters. I'm just going to just tell you. Oh, I'm like, do you not know if you're out squatch hunting, you're never going to get a girlfriend? But Tony's married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, you're from Oklahoma. Do you know about the Bigfoot War of 18 something?
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. That didn't show up. It didn't show up in my history books. Yeah.
That's a government.
With that said, and then, I'm a big Blurry Creatures fan. Mm-hmm. And I am actually I'm going to do the Blurry Con.
Oh, that's going to be
cool. Do you know that? Don't know that?
And it's sold out, I heard. Dun, dun, the VIP. Dun,
dun. Yeah, the whole thing is sold out. Hey, man, do you have that graphic, BlurryCon graphic? Man, we'll put that up here in a minute. So, it's the VIP thing is sold out, and it's my first time to go do the BlurryCon, and I can't wait to do that. And the reason why is because everybody knows that I got on Tony Merkel and told everybody that I saw a giant in Mexico. And like, well, why did you do that? Because I did. I did see a giant. And like, what? Wait a minute. Nobody's ever seen a giant. Yeah, they have. I have. So has Ben. So has Pastor Jerry, because they were there with me. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Chiapas, Mexico next week on the Guatemalan border where I saw that thing. I saw it. I saw it on the ridge.
Yeah.
And looked at it for a long time. And I've got all kinds of hate over that. Like, okay, we thought you were cool, and now you're telling everybody you saw a giant. Here's what I'd say to that. Okay, if that freaks you out, I can't tell you anything else because I live a very supernatural lifestyle and I see supernatural things.
Look at that.
Which one is you?
Where's me? The only one wearing a cowboy.
Trying to figure out.
That's awesome.
I love
that. That is awesome.
Tony Merkel in the middle, right? Yeah.
So look, Tom Doyle. Let's see here. Tony Merkel's there. Doug Van Dorn. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Judd Burton. Which I'm a huge Judd Burton fan. I cannot wait to meet
Laura Sanger. We love her.
And then there's Dr. Laura Sanger. Mm-hmm. And I will lose my mind being around all
those
cats.
It's
going
to be amazing. Can't wait to hear.
And so, I will lose my mind being around
Tennessee.
All those
cats. In Tennessee.
So, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's on Halloween. Harvest Fest. October 31st. Sorry.
Yes, great to be back.
Yes, we are happy that you are back.
I'm happy to be back. So what do you guys want to know about my trip?
How's the book going?
I'm done. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. So I have written my novel, and it's 400 pages. It is a supernatural Western.
Yeah.
And I've got a working title of Redemption's Ride. Mm-hmm. And but because it has this ongoing story of redemption, even though it's a cowboy story, it's got some wild supernatural stuff in it, and it's about rescuing people from the Comanche Indians.
Now, there was a rumor while you were gone about this book that there might be more than just one book. Is that something we want to announce potentially today? Well, there was like, we were getting, I mean, tens of questions about it.
Well,
if there would be a series.
Do well, there's supposed. I have left it so that I could do a series, but here, stop it. Stop
that means you have to go away again. We don't want you to go away.
But dude, I want to just tell you, it was an undertaking. I started writing this book when I was in Uganda 2 months ago. And it's so funny because I wrote this book in a book about Johnson County, Texas, in the between the years 1860 and 1885. And I wrote it in Uganda. I wrote it in Mexico. I wrote it in Canada. I wrote it in Washington, D.C. I wrote it in Branson, Missouri. I wrote it in Dallas. I wrote it in Sacramento, California. I also wrote it in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I wrote it in North Carolina. That's all the places I've been over the past couple months. And so I have an epilogue at the end of it that talks about the book and explains some things and all that. And I just wrote down all the places where I actually wrote a chapter in this book, and it's crazy.
That's so cool.
But I did set it up because the main character, the guy that is telling the story, he's telling the story in the year 1963, and at the Fort Worth Hotel in downtown Fort Worth, and the date is November 21st, 1963. They're waiting for President Kennedy to arrive because he goes to Dallas. Of course, he gets killed the next day. And he gave his last speech in Fort Worth, Texas. And so the series could actually end in 1963. But the first part of it was through the Civil War and then through the Comanche Indian Wars, and then which ends about 1885, which also includes the Chisholm Trail and Hell's Half Acre in Fort Worth. The next one, if I was to do another one, it would be about the oil boom days and the turn of the century. And it would be during that time, and it would go into World War I. And then the second one could go through the Depression. It could go through the Whiskey Wars of Glen Rose, Texas. There's a big time whiskey and moonshine war that happened out there, and how the mob was trying to move to Fort Worth. And then it would go through World War II. And then it could go all the way into. So there's room for that. And it's a family, it's a fictitious family, but the events are real. And the history is real, and the geographical location is real. And then it's a story of redemption and the goodness of God in the midst of a really rough world. And I want to tell you guys, it's not a Bible study. It's a novel. And Pastor Troy, do your cowboys cuss? Well, they do sometimes. And like, well, you can't, as a man of God, you can't do that. I limited my cuss words to the King James. I could deal with all the hypocrites and ain't gonna like that. If you can find it in the King James, you'll probably find it in that. I limited my cussing to the Bible. That's what I did. So
I think it's pretty cool that you wrote a book, but it shouldn't only be for the church, Pastor, because our job is to go outside of the church.
No, it's
and
reach.
So I love that God is revealing and shows you, and how I just can't imagine everything in your what the Lord has revealed to you, how you just spit it all out, but this could be a way for those out of the church to come to Christ.
No,
it's not for us. You've written a lot of books for the Christians. I think this is a great time to step out. You've been going all over, and the Lord literally just the revelation is just mind blowing.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
So I think that's amazing.
So yeah,
we do. We need more books.
Sherry likes that. She's like, hey.
Cussing in the King James.
You used to love all my cussing in Burleson, King James.
Texas.
Now I have some very flowery words that I had to come up with, but it's really cool. I mean, you just have to get really creative in how and how you write. And so, like, there's a bunch of terms in there. I was telling you guys, like, when I'm doing the battle for Little Round Top, which is Gettysburg, there's two Texans that ran off in my book that ran off to join the Civil War against their parents' wishes. Their twin brothers are 16 when they run off. And I based that upon a true family in Johnson County, but my story is fictitious about them. But Hood's Texas Brigade actually fought at Little Round Top, and they fought the 20th Maine. And the guy named Chamberlain was in charge of the 20th Maine. Now, Maine represented the frontier of the Northeast. Texas represented the frontier of the Southwest. And those guys met on a little place that looks exactly like Caddo Peak in Johnson County, and it's called Little Round Top. And so anyway, in the midst of their warfare, which I had to make it historically accurate.
And you did.
Yeah, you've read it.
I had the privilege of hearing, I don't know, two chapters or can't remember how much, because you jumped in two places. And then we kind of nerded out because our ADDs just kind of linked up and just went down this rabbit trail. And we were able to actually pull up the actual battle you were talking about. And you could see they had this graphic. They were looking at all the different like infantries. Oh. And it's
thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
The research that went into this is like,
so yeah. So there was crazy. there was five different areas of writing this. Number one, it's a historical novel. So you have to know the history and you got to constantly study the history.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is that it's time wrapped around between 1868 and 1885. And guns changed during that time, okay?
So your shootouts had to change as a...
Yeah, so it starts off their musket gunfire. Okay. And by the time that it's over, it's repeating rifle.
Wow.
I mean, and so you got to know those guns. You got to know the weapons. If you're going to describe a gunfight, you have to be... And so you have to... It has to be historically accurate. It has to be geographically accurate. And then you have the story that you want to tell that is fictitious, that you got a plan in the midst of that. That's a whole nother level. And then, man, you got this thing. And the thing is the vernacular, being true to how they spoke then. So I was like, okay, and not only do you have to be true to the vernacular in how they are talking, but you can't describe things as a narrator. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're speaking in the narrative, okay, you can't describe something out of tune to what is happening.
Right.
Right.
You can't take a hard right and change.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, okay. So when I was saying, okay, they went up this thing and they're trying to work this, they're trying to get up this hill. And I wanted to describe what it smelled like. Okay. And that there was, the tang of blood. There was also the churning of dirt as they're trying to get up this and as they're crawling up the hill. And I was trying to think of a term for it. And I was like, the air was filled with a rancorous whiff. I worked on that term, rancorous whiff.
You don't smell that rancorous.
No, rancorous. Yeah. It's rank.
Yeah.
A rancorous whiff. Okay. That's true to Texas vernacular. And so I try to stay true to Texas vernacular all the way through the book. And it's 400 pages long. So anyway, yeah. So it's been a trip. Yeah. And it's also a supernatural Western.
We also got a message in just now too. If you try to call the call center earlier this morning, apparently we just been overwhelmed on people giving and stuff like that. We had a little glitch in the internet this morning at the call center.
No kidding.
So if you called in this morning for prayer or to give, hey, the number's still good. It's all working now. Again, Santa's elves, or if you don't believe in Santa, somebody's elves fixed it.
You must
it.
Really like Christmas.
Well,
I know.
You brought Santa.
I'm trying to come up with something
summer.
On the spot that's creative.
Minions.
Minions, thank you.
Minions,
there we
man.
Go. Minions.
It's all about minions.
We got a bunch of yellow minions working on it, but it is working. So if you want to call us, 877-413-0888.
Okay, guys. Well, I am back, and I'll be back here again tomorrow, and I'll have a lot more updates. I'm going to be on Flashpoint again tonight.
Okay,
that's awesome.
And
I'll be preaching Wednesday.
Yep, and I'm preaching Wednesday.
On the
and I gave some of my word that I'm preaching on Wednesday night to the pastors here. I wish you'd, you know, why are you not a pastor, by the way?
I will be whatever the Lord wants me to be.
Yeah, but you're a girl, so you can't. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Pastor Leanna?
Exactly. If you go to our pastor's meeting, I mean, there's dang near as many girls that are pastors here, and that makes people mad, and I kind of do that just to make people mad,
because
I like to make people
mad. I love all our pastors here.
No, man,
amazing.
Yep, they are amazing, and we have amazing men and women here on staff, and right now, everybody is scrambling. As we are preparing, we want to buy 100 chainsaws today, our first batch of 100. We actually, but 100 was all we could get.
Wow.
Because that's every chainsaw that John Deere has available.
Yeah.
And so guys, we're trying to do that. And then we're actually going to get them. If we buy this today, if we do this by 2 o'clock today, so you guys help me raise this money. Mm-hmm. If we can do this by 2 o'clock today, the company Steel will actually move. They'll gather them all together and they'll actually deliver them to us. So like, okay. And they will deliver tomorrow.
That's awesome. Wow. That,
so we can literally have these chainsaws down there tomorrow night.
That would be amazing.
Which that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Like, well, I don't know if that's Jesus, you know, by chainsaws. I promise it you is. It is. And if you were down there, you
it was would eye-opening know it hearing from the actual, some of the guys that have been in contact with the actual boots on the ground, not the news media, not somebody with a blog that lives in his mom's basement. No, like actually talking to the people who were there. They're like, listen, we have plenty of food. We don't have equipment. We need help. Yep. What broke my heart also this morning was hearing some of the rescuers need counseling.
Yes.
If you've never seen a dead body or part, I know this is gross, but parts of a person, it's different.
Yep.
It's and it affects you. And you can imagine being a 20-year-old cadet out of police school, academy, and an EMT, and that you see that, hey, this is your first week on the job, that can stick with you. And we just praying over them, you know, and kind of helping them through that. But getting there with the chainsaws, you can be part of that by just going to troybrewer.com and donate and tap on give to donate.
I want to say also to you, I've seen just looking over like Pastor Gary right there. He's in Ireland. Pastor Gary McGibbon at Victory Belfast. You guys look him up. You guys look up Victory Belfast and look up Pastor Gary McGibbon. He's a good friend of mine. The guy is a 50-pound head. He is so smart. Now, he doesn't look very good. He's not much to look at. But he is a really, really smart guy. He's actually a good-looking dude. I don't know how he's good-looking because he's a professional fighter. He's not only the pastor of the church, but he is. But he's a professional fighter, which is crazy cool.
I mean, yeah. When you went out there, you came back. You're like, I love those people.
I love
a biker
that.
Bar. Is that the one? Or
yeah,
next
yeah,
biker bar.
Yeah, it was a Hell's Angels bar that they turned so into cool. a church. That's so and cool. I was hey, like, Jesus no, okay, so these are my people. Yeah. These are my people
in Ireland.
And anyway, you guys look him up and plug into his stuff. He's saying, ha-ha. Sure do love you, Pastor Gary. Aww. Also, my friends in Switzerland are on here.
Yeah, they were on there
I've
earlier.
Seen you guys on here. My friend Pablo in Argentina is here. My son, George, in Uganda was on here a while ago. People all over the world. And guys, I want to just say, we have a message of hope in the midst of this great tragedy.
Amen.
And our hearts are broken. They are. But our face is set like a flint to make a tremendous difference. And we can, and we will, and we are, and God Almighty will be glorified.
Amen.
So guys, thank you so much, man, for being activated. Thank you guys for supporting these people down there, for helping us help them. For I have no idea how many people have, you know, helped us with this $430 thing, and people who have even given us more than that, but all the chainsaws that we'll be able to buy today. And then the actual help, you know, just the cash that we have to hand out so that people have places to stay. And like, hey, how much is that? You shouldn't have to pay for that. Let the body of Jesus pay for that. And there you go. So guys, we're doing it. You guys watch me on Flashpoint tonight. And then you guys come and join me at Open Door tomorrow night. And so, and then on Thursday morning, I'm on a plane at 7 a.m., wheels up, 7 a.m., I'm headed to Guatemala, and I'm going to be preaching at a big apostolic thing down there. And we actually have a food bank in Nicaragua that feeds 100,000 people a month. And so, we've had that 100,000 people a month.
Mm.
And so we've been doing that, cost tens of thousands of dollars. We've been supporting that for years and years and years.
Amazing.
And I got to go see my peeps and see how many people they've rescued.
Amen.
And then I'm going to be going to Redemption Ranch in Chiapas, Mexico. And I'm visiting a bunch of brand new kids that I haven't met yet. I've seen them on Zoom, but I've never got to give them a hug and tell them I love them. And then I'm going to go to Mexico City. And while I'm in Mexico City, the Attorney General of the nation, the Mexican Attorney General, has invited me to a United Nations meeting, and they're giving me some kind of an award for all the kids that we've rescued in Mexico. Yeah. So I get to bring Jesus. You know, give me that microphone. Give me that microphone and you watch and say, this is the role. I'm going to actually say, if Christians do not join the government,
it's going to be good.
I'm about to start going off right now. And I'm like, the reason why this Attorney General is here is because she loves Jesus. Ungodly people that run for government, they do not care about trafficking. And it's up to us as Christians to get involved in every form, in every way that we can fight trafficking. Amen. So that's the word I'm going to bring at the United Nations meeting. So
it'll be powerful.
Yeah, and so I think I come home next Thursday, and it's like, okay, then are you finally going to preach on Sunday? And I'm not. And I want to tell you why I'm not, because Dave Reaver, who was supposed, I'm supposed to be preaching that Sunday, but Dave Reaver, who was supposed to be here this Sunday, he is not. He had to bump it back because it is Jimmy Swaggart's
going home
funeral, and Pastor Dave Reaver is preaching his funeral.
Wow.
And he called me. I was in Washington State last week, and he called me and said, hey, man, if there's only, you know I'm already committed to come to your church, but I've been asked to do this. And he's been a lifelong friend. You know, on the last day that Jimmy Swaggart, this is what Pastor Dave told me, on the last day of Jimmy Swaggart's life, the last thing he asked for was, did we get those Bibles finished for Pastor Dave? Now, What Pastor Dave does is he puts together these Bibles for Vietnamese people, Korean people, whole lot of different kind of Asian languages. But he particularly, because he was blown up in Vietnam, he particularly does a tremendous, he has all kinds of schools in Vietnam. So Jimmy Swaggart donated untold numbers of those big giant Jimmy Swaggart Bibles.
Wow.
And Dave told him, that's awesome, because it's those big giant Jimmy Swaggart study Bibles, or they're like that thick. Huge. And he said, that's great, except for this is in English and we need it done. And so he actually had his Bible and all of his notes translated into whatever that language is.
Wow.
And then he just got it done the day that he died. And that means a lot to Pastor Dave. It means a lot to me. And I mean, I'm not even involved in any of that. So that's really cool.
What you wrote about Jimmy, can I just rephrase, was phenomenal. And a lot of people were like, thank you, Pastor Troy, for taking a stand and for the lovely words of compassion and grace that you wrote. Well, it was beautiful.
Yeah, God bless his ministry, man.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me, man? Yeah. Golly. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you all so much for joining me today. It's been a privilege. I guess I'll turn this over to you and let you guys close this out. Guys, keep on keeping on, guys. Listen, the sky's not falling. The kingdom is coming. I call you guys ahead and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.